The following program is paid for by Rick Hughes Evangelistic Ministries.
Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next few minutes, please stay here. It's short, about 30 minutes of motivation, some inspiration, a whole lot of education, and obviously, as you've heard me say so many times, no manipulation, because we don't con you. We're not trying to raise money. We're not trying to sell you anything. We're not going to ask you to join anything. But what I would ask for you to do is to listen as I try to present the Word of God and verify and identify God's plan for your life. If I can do that, then you hopefully will orient and adjust to the plan. That's the whole idea with the Flatline Radio Show, to give you the information that God has provided through the Scriptures so that you might seal up your eternal destiny and have a most fantastic life here on this planet. We teach a Flatline, F-L-O-T, Flatline. It stands for the Forward Line of Troops. We teach a flight line in your soul, a main line of resistance you can build in your soul based on the Scripture. And when you learn the flight line and the 10 problem-solving devices that are on the flight line, then you can stop the outside source of adversity from becoming the inside source of stress. My pastor taught me this concept years ago, so these are his words, flight line. This is not something that I originated myself. This is something he taught me. And I'm sharing that with you with his compliments, I promise you. All right, today we want to talk about something very important, very critical. But before we do, let me remind you of our website, rickhughesministries.org. It's amazing how many Rick Hughes's there are on the internet. There's a Rick Hughes Ministries in Georgia, a Rick Hughes Ministry somewhere else, but I'm rickhughesministries.org. And if you go to my website, you should see a picture of me standing in front of a group of kids talking in a school, which I did for 50 plus years, traveling all across the Southeast, speaking to thousands of teenagers in hundreds of schools all across the Southeastern part of the United States. Today, we conduct our radio program here in where we live in Cropwell, Alabama, and we broadcast this program on 115 radio stations all across this great country. What a great privilege and a great honor God has given me to be able to do this. So thank you for listening. But if you go to the website now, you can order books free. You can listen to some of the shows free. We have all of them cataloged there. And most of our books are read by our announcer. You can have an audiobook reading from the website. And you can also download the PDFs from the website. So it's all there under rickhughesministries.org. Check it out if you would. Contact us if you need to, 800-831-0718. But again, I'm not a counselor. I'm not your personal Bible teacher. That's what you need a pastor for. My job is to get you started and give you information. But I'm not here to counsel you about what you should or shouldn't do. You might need to see a doctor for that. I'm just an evangelist teaching you the Word of God. So today I'd like to talk about consequences. Consequences. You know what that is? That's the effects or the results or the outcome of something that you did or didn't do. But the consequence that I want to talk to you about today is very important. It's when you stick your nose into somebody else's business. That's right. When you stick your nose into someone else's business. My pastor taught me years ago about a monkey called a proboscis monkey that had a big long nose, always getting in trouble. That's what a lot of Christians seem to do when they stick their nose where it doesn't belong. And the reason I bring this up is that in America today, there's a lot of judging, a lot of slandering of individuals, especially on social media. Oh, my goodness. Or on talk radio, especially sports talk radio. I enjoy listening to sports talk radio here in the South. And it is famous, or should I say infamous, for maligning coaches that don't win or maligning players that don't perform up to expectations. But the social media platforms that I'm talking about are hotbeds for slander and gossip of individuals and even noted politicians. But as a Christian, as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, should you judge Or should you malign another person that you don't like or someone you don't agree with? Are we authorized to comment on decisions and actions that other believers make? And are we called to be the moral police of our sphere of influence? Again, are you called to be the moral police of our sphere of influence? I was talking to a friend recently, talking about another individual, and I won't forget what the friend said. They're just trash. That's wrong. It's the wrong way to say that. That's not right. So let's see what the Bible says about judging. And hopefully, if you heed my warning, you will save yourself a lot of suffering. I want to go to the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 7, where in verses 1 through 6, the Lord Jesus Christ taught these words. Matthew recorded them, so listen very carefully. Judge not. So that's a purpose clause, so that why? You be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you measure, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove that speck out of your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye? You are a hypocrite. First remove the plank from your own eye, and then you'll be able to see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. This plank in your own eye is a person who's blind to their own sins. They don't see their own sins, they only see the sins of others. So listen, let me give you the modified expanded translation of this verse. You can also read it in Luke 6, 37 through 38. Here's a modified expanded translation of Matthew 7, 1 through 6. Stop judging, so you will not be judged. Otherwise, you will be judged by the same standards that you use to judge others. The standard you use for others will be applied to you. So why, that's a good question, why do you see the pieces of sawdust in another believer's eye and you don't notice the wooden beam sticking out of your own eye? Or how can you say to another believer, let me take that piece of sawdust out of your eye, when you have a beam in your own eye? You are a hypocrite. First remove the beam from your own eye, and then you'll see clearly to remove the piece of sawdust from another believer's eye. All right, let's start with the word judge. You know, we like to go to the original languages of the New Testament, the Koine Greek language. It was not written in the King James Version. It was written in the Koine Greek dialect. And so let's start with this word judge. The Greek New Testament word for judge is a verb pronounced krino, K-R-I-N-O, krino. And every verb has a morphology, and this one is a present active imperative verb. The present tense is a durative present, which means you should never judge. The active voice means the subject produces the action of the verb, and that's you and me. And the imperative mood is a command, or a mood of indicative, mood of command. Do not judge. This means it's a divine mandate from God through the Lord Jesus Christ via Matthew, who wrote it down. That word judge means to pronounce an opinion concerning right or wrong, or passing judgment on the deeds and the words of other people, other individuals. Along with the word judge, we have a Greek particle pronounced me, M-E. And may denies the thought of the thing, or do not do this. So why exactly did the Lord Jesus Christ warn us not to judge? Why are we warned about judging other believers' acts or other believers' intentions? Because this is one of the quickest ways for you to get into divine discipline from the Supreme Court of Heaven. This judging of another individual is related to the sin of arrogance. The one who is judging assumes that he, or she in that case, is correct, and the one who is being judged is guilty of some deed or desire that is sinful. Proverbs 6:12-15 calls an individual that does this a worthless person. I'll quote it for you. A worthless person, a wicked man, walks around with a false mouth. You see, goaded by malice, this person finds a way to put his false mouth into action, by maligning and judging and accusing other people. In John chapter 8, verses 3 through 11, we see the scribes and Pharisees bring a woman to Jesus who had been caught in the act of adultery. You can guess that these religious people caught her in the very act. Having nothing better to do than stick their nose in someone else's business. And this was actually an attempt to trap Jesus so that they could have grounds to accuse him. The scribes and the Pharisees who brought this woman were guilty of far worse sins than she was, but she was caught in the actual act, and so obviously the man was too, but he was permitted to escape. So what we're looking at here is moral degeneracy versus immoral degeneracy. The moral degenerate is the scribes and the Pharisees and the religious people that will kill you in the name of God and think they're doing God a favor. And the immoral degenerate is the woman who was caught in the act of adultery. Our Lord recognized this woman was indeed a believer since she did call him Lord. Once he had totally destroyed the motivation of the religious leaders, he asked her a question. He said, "Where are your accusers now?" In John 8:11, she said, "No one, Lord." There it is, Lord. And Jesus said, "I do not condemn you either. Go from now on and don't do this sin any longer." Here are a few principles I'd like to give you. You cannot be occupied with the sins and failures of other people and at the same time advance in the plan of God for your life. No self-righteous Christian ever grows in grace. In this church age that we live in today, the failures of other believers must be left in the hands of the Lord. Let Him do the judging. Let Him handle the punitive discipline when it's necessary. Because when one believer condemns or judges another believer, that individual is blaspheming by superseding the Lord as the rightful judge. What you're doing is you're taking it out of the hands of the Lord, and that's blasphemy. If believers like this were more concerned about learning the Word of God and applying the Word of God into their life, they would be less concerned about sticking their nose into the lives of other people. And this goes on every day. I hear it all the time. Did you know that? Do you understand that? And they want to tell you what somebody did, as if I'm really interested. Matthew 7, "Judge not so that you be not judged, because with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you." This principle is tragic, but you got to understand what they're saying here. This person has done whatever they've done that caused you to judge them as guilty. Would be then, once you talked about it, once you criticized them, once you maligned them, it'll be taken off of them and given to you. You hear that? Even if they did it, the fact that you're talking about it and you're telling somebody about it, when you're saying, "Did you not know that they did this or they did that?" Even if what they did was sin, their discipline would be taken off of them and given to you because you stuck your nose in God's business and you attempted to judge them. You're going to be disciplined for something you did not do since you attempted to take God's place when you evaluated another person's act, another person's intent. That's why verse 3 says, "Why do you look at a speck of sawdust in your brother's eye, and you don't pay any attention to the 2x4 in your own eye?" That's what those Pharisees were doing. The woman's sin was a speck of sawdust. And the scribes and the Pharisees, those moral degenerates, their sin was a 2x4 in their own eye. They were guilty of a series of heinous sins, including arrogance, gossip, maligning, judging, criticizing, even murder. So, here's the principle. Any Christian, the believer, guilty of verbal sinning such as gossip and slander and judging other people is placed under triple compound discipline. Bam, bam, bam from God. What do I mean by that? I mean they get disciplined for their mental attitude sins that motivated their verbal sins. And they get disciplined for the verbal sins of gossiping and slandering against another individual. And the one who did the accusing is judged by God as if he was the one that actually committed the sin. You'll be judged the same way you judge them, the Bible said, to be taken off of them, given to you. If the accusations are real and the person you accuse is under divine discipline, then God will give equal measure of that discipline to the person who's guilty of maligning, criticizing, judging that other individual. So by verbally sinning and telling me or telling anyone what that other person did, even if they sin, you're going to get their discipline. If the accused is innocent and didn't do it, then God will discipline the slanderer, that's what you're doing, for the sins falsely mentioned, and he will give special blessing to the one who's been wrongly accused. Let's listen to Psalm 37, 12 through 13. The wicked plot against the righteous and gnashes at him with their teeth. The Lord laughs at him, for he sees that his day is coming. Who's the wicked here? It's the person who judges or maligns or gossips or slanders about another individual. And you may do it so innocently. You may be having lunch or having a conversation with someone, and they may randomly say, "What do you think about old Billy Bob or Joe Henry or whatever his name is?" And you say, "Well, I tell you, do you know what they did? Let me tell you what they did." And right away, you are in serious trouble with God, because you stuck your nose into something that was none of your business. God knew what they did. God's already dealing with them for what they did. Who gave you the right to stick your nose into their business? So, Psalm 37:18, the Lord knows the day of the blameless, and their inheritance will be forever. The Lord knows the day of the blameless, and their inheritance will be forever. In Hebrews 9:27, the Bible speaks of eternal consequences. Eternal consequences. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, and after that, the judgment. These are the consequences of rejecting Jesus Christ as your Savior. When you say no to the grace provision of the cross, when you say no to the substitutionary death of the Lord Jesus Christ who took your place, you will face the consequences of saying no, and you will wind up in the lake of fire because the Bible says so, not because God wants to put you there. God's not mad at you. He loved you. He loved you so much he sent his only begotten Son to die for you. But you rejected God's forgiveness, and that will bring you into the lake of fire forever, because the justice of God cannot make any exceptions for any one period. God's justice will also impose discipline on any Christian who fails to confess his sin. So you and I are told as believers, when we sin, we are to rebound our sin. That's problem-solving device number one. Rebound is 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sin, and if is a third-class condition, says maybe you will, maybe you won't, but if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to purify us from all wrongdoing. Why do I have to confess my sin? Because I quench the Holy Spirit when I sin, and I grieve the Holy Spirit, and I'm out of fellowship with God. I'm still in the relationship, I'm still in the family, but I've broken fellowship with God by my negative volition to his mandates, and I've sinned, and I need to rebound or confess my sin. If I don't do that, then the Bible says I'm in trouble. Listen to what happened to David after his sin with Bathsheba, because God's justice will impose discipline on any believer who fails to confess his sin. I remind you today, if there's sin in your life, you better deal with it and deal with it now. This may be the very reason you're suffering. In Psalm 32, verses 3 through 5, listen carefully. When I kept silent, that means I didn't confess my sin, my bones became old through my roaring all day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy on me. My moisture is turned into drought of summer. But I acknowledge my sin unto you, and my iniquities I did not hide. And I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. The longer you go without admitting your sin, the longer you go by ignoring what you've done, the heavier the discipline is going to be on you from God, because he loves you. He's not trying to hurt you. He's trying to square you away. He's trying to get you to have some humility. If you don't have enough genuine humility to admit your sin, then there's going to be enforced humility, which is called divine discipline. That's what David's saying. I didn't confess my sin. I kept silent, and I almost died. And then he said, I finally acknowledged my sin. I didn't hide it any longer. I confessed it to the Lord, and he forgave my iniquity. Perhaps you need to do this today. This may be the very reason you're in trouble physically, because you haven't dealt with the sin. Maybe you've been sticking your nose where it doesn't belong, into your neighbor's business, or your children's business, or someone in the church, or the pastor even. These verses that I give you are proof that we have enough to be concerned about without sticking our nose into someone else's business. You know, talking about another person's sin and another person's failure is nothing but slander and gossip. Unfortunately, these types of sins are mentioned in Proverbs 6:16 through 19, and they are one of the seven sins that God hates. Many people are not aware of this. You know, they think about the Big Ten, don't do this or don't do that. There's no such thing as the Big Ten. Here's seven the Lord tells you right here that he is not in favor of. Now, God doesn't hate anybody. That's an anthropomorphism. But God does not approve of any of these things that I'm about to give you. You can get your Bible and you can read it from Proverbs 6:16 through 19. There are six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look, that's arrogance. Because the arrogant person doesn't see himself as he really is. He sees himself as he thinks he is. He has an unrealistic self-image. And if you have an unrealistic self-image, you will expect people to treat you in a way you're not worthy of being treated because you think you're something that you're not. You have pride. Do you have that pride today? Are you a proud individual? You think God's impressed with you because you tithe 10% of your income? You think God's impressed with you because you don't drink alcohol? You think God's impressed with you because you don't smoke? And yet you slander and malign and criticize and gossip about other individuals? One of the things that God disapproves of highly is your own arrogant self-righteousness, and that's called the moral degeneracy. Another one of the seven things, Proverbs 6:16, is a lying tongue. Our Father does not put up with lying. And lying is a terrible sin. You have to get away from that. I'll never forget being in school, and a young lady came up to me crying, and she said, I cannot quit lying. I lie to my parents. I lie to everybody. And she was trapped in that vicious cycle of trying to stay popular and trying to cover up things she had done by lying. God does not tolerate arrogance. He doesn't tolerate lies. And he doesn't tolerate murder, hands that shed innocent blood. That's one of the seven sins that God doesn't tolerate. And whenever that happens, that's one of the problems we have in America today. We don't penalize murderers. We put them in prison for 25 or 30 years and feed them. And what we need to do is get rid of them quickly. So hands that shed innocent blood is referring to someone who commits murder. And then another one is a heart that devises wicked plans, as someone who's a schemer. Someone who's going behind everybody's back, trying to devise a way to pull something over on somebody, especially in a church, that can be devastating. Feet that are swift in running to evil, that's someone that can't wait to get on the phone and talk to someone else about what somebody did. Have you done that? Have you gotten on the phone and called one of your friends and said, let me tell you about so-and-so? You're running to evil. You're stirring up trouble. And then one of the other ones says, a false witness who speaks lies. That, again, is what we're dealing with. You don't know whether that person did or didn't do what you said they did. So maybe they didn't. Maybe they're innocent, but you accuse them of it. You're lying. And then, of course, that's slander. If you accuse someone of something they didn't do, that's slander. If you accuse them of something they did do, that's gossip. Both are wrong. And then the Bible says, and the one who sows discord among the brethren, that's the person who gossips and slanders and judges other people because they don't live up to your expectations of what you think they should or shouldn't do. So in closing, let me remind you of this. Be very careful when someone asks your opinion about another individual. Don't give it. If they don't like them, or if they want you to give them your opinion, here's what I would do. Tell them to take it up with God, because you are not qualified to judge another person's action or another person's mentality or another person's desire, whatever that is. Tell them to take it up with God. I mean, you may know for sure they've committed a sin, and you may know for sure that they've done something improper, but do not impulsively tell anyone else, because that's gossip. Proverbs 10:19. In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise. And Proverbs 21:23. Whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from trouble. That's a promise right there for you to get a hold of. Maybe you need to guard your words and be careful about what you say, especially when it comes to talking about other people. Because maybe you have a 2x4 in your own eye, and you're trying to pick out a speck of sawdust from your brother's eye. If you find yourself going through a lot of strange, unsettling events, it just might be divine discipline because of what you've said about another person. And if that's the case, then I would advise you to rebound immediately before the warning discipline turns into intense discipline. I would advise you to confess that sin to God, 1 John 1:9. You know, if you will learn and use impersonal love and one of our problem-solving devices taught on the flatline of your soul, you will save yourself a lot of anxiety, and you will save yourself a lot of regret. So, what did the Bible say? Don't judge. Don't stick your nose where it doesn't belong. Don't criticize people. Don't critique people. Don't give your opinion about people. If there's something going on, let the Lord handle it. And that doesn't say if they're criminals, you should not tell anybody. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying we're dealing with normal life, everyday situations in normal life. Don't stick your nose into their business. If they're married and divorced and got remarried, stay out of it. If they had some kind of problem with their family, stay out of it. Let the Lord handle it. He knows exactly what's going on. Not your job to criticize anybody. Okay? Next week, same time, same place. Until then, this is your host, Rick Hughes, saying thank you for listening to The Flatline.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054. Or online at www.rickhughesministries.org. The preceding program was paid for by Rick Hughes Evangelistic Ministries.